AFD, you coward!
WWF superstars compete in the Royal Rumble!
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapland. Joining me this week, I've got Nick, Macho Jupiter, Davey.
Good evening.
And Oliver, the unstable crusher, Newman.
I'm not sure if I'm happy with that nickname, to be honest.
Mentally unstable.
Yeah.
I used a wrestling name generator on you both today.
Okay. I thought you'd just been really unique and come up with these weird nicknames. I was going to give you some credit there, Chris. I'm glad I didn't.
No. Macho Jupiter was a bit like, oof, that's a bit weird. But,
yeah. Good evening, everyone.
How you doing this evening, lads?
Yeah, all good. All good.
Absolutely exhausted, as I mentioned before we went on air. But my team, Birmingham City, won a crucial championship match tonight, so hopefully that's the energy I need to get me through the review.
Right, so should we go straight into the review of NXT TakeOver Philadelphia? So,
yep.
So before... I'm glad to have you back, Chris, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It was a privilege doing the hosting of the show last night, but you are the glue that keeps it together.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's okay to have you back. excellent to have you back.
So before we get into the matches, should we go through the new signings we saw on the night? So first we saw War Machine, then we saw Ricochet, then we saw EC3. Later on in the night we saw Candice LeRae. So Nick, how excited are you for NXT in 2018 with these signings?
Yeah, as I mentioned a previous show about War Machine, really delighted to see them. I think they've added a lot to the tag team division, especially with Officer Payne on Santiago, even both potentially moving up to the main roster. So really excited to see them. Ricochet, obviously fantastic. High five. He had a lot to NXT, and I'll see EC3, as I've known him as Derek Bateman back in the day. Looks like he's developed a lot in terms of size, and even just in looks, he looks more badass than he did when he was in WWE before. So really excited to see EC3. It sounds weird, obviously he's the one I'm more excited to see how he does in terms of development, obviously from when he was in WWE before. So really excited to see him, but Ricochet and excited to them, but also War Machine, and say they've been excellent in the indie scene. Love their matches in progress when they've been there. So no, really excited to see all of them NXT. I think again, it's the wheel that keeps on turning.
You didn't say anything about Candice LeRae, Nick.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, no. Yeah, no, excited to see her as well. She saw her at Riptide's show when she's beating the hell out of Tyler Bates. So, I think she'll be quality as well in NXT.
Yeah, do you think they're all going to keep their names? Because he seems to be Ricochet. They like to call him Trevor Ricochet Man. But Trevor Man is not a wrestler's name.
I don't know, really. It's probably might just be just for the debut night, really. I remember when Tommy End, Alistair Black first appeared, they referred to him as Tommy End before changing it. So probably maybe before they've had a sit down and decide where they want to go, maybe names and what have you.
Yeah, I was more surprised they went with VC3. But I think he's got a trademark. No, I read. So it's his. He owns the trademark on it, so he can't.
Oh, he owns the trademark. Yeah, no, I prefer EC3 to Derek Bateman.
Yeah. It was a weird period, 2011, where they just said everybody has to have a real name, and he came up with some weird names in NXT. Bateman and then Michael McGillicuddy and Husky Harris and all that.
Well, if memory serves me correctly, Daniel Bryan, one of his names that he was kind of messing around with and stuff, was going to be Lloyd Boner, wasn't it?
Lloyd Boner.
Yeah, so...
Lord Farquaad.
It was a strange period of time in wrestling, but as just give my quick thoughts on the NXT signees. War Machine, I know the name and I've seen a little bit of them in New Japan. Ricochet is one of the best high flyers in the world. I was in the love the match with Osprey camp So I can't wait to see what he does in NXT, and he might be the injection to 205 Live in the future that it desperately needs to make it must watch. EC3 did a fantastic job in Impact Wrestling for the longest time. He was one of the major attractions. Brilliant on the microphone, pretty good in the ring as well. So that's a hell of a signing. And Candice LeRae was a name I'd heard of, you know, in very high esteem. And then I watched her in the Mae Young Classic, and she was really good. And then it's a fantastic signing for her to be with her husband, Johnny Gargano, of course. And just because she's one of the premier female wrestlers in the world. So, four fantastic signings. Oh, sorry, five fantastic signings.
Yeah, so the show, so NXT TakeOver Philadelphia opened with the tag team title match between the Office of Pain and the Undisputed Era. I thought this was a great match. It was simple but effective tag team wrestling. I thought the Undisputed Era nullified the power advantage of the Office of Pain, and then I don't know which one was it. One of the Office of Pain sold his knee injury very well, I thought, throughout the match.
Someone was listening to the technical difficulty show. you've kind of taken everything though I kind of said about the match in what you've just said there, Chris. I'm not sure I can add to it, but I love the match. Power and strength versus technique is always a winner for me. The Undisputed Era looked fantastic, beating two big brutes of a tag team. The Authors of Pain didn't look weak in defeat, because it was kind of a snidey, sly kind of win by just rolling up the member of Authors of Pain. I couldn't tell you which one it was at this moment in time, being sleep deprived. But fantastic way to start the show.
It's still quite bad that I don't know the difference between them. I should know them. I know their names, Occam and Razor, but I don't know which one's which.
Fair enough. It's the same thing with Usos, though, isn't it, really? If one of them's not wearing a t-shirt or a chain or something, it's difficult to tell them apart.
Well, you used to be able to tell them apart because one of them had a tattoo and one didn't, but now they both have the same tattoo. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick, what's your thoughts on this match?
First of all, I loved the Office of Pain entrance attire. That was quality. Really big fan of that. And then in the match itself, I thought it was excellent. I really did. I've enjoyed the whole feud. I hope the next takeover we see it, or the Undisputed Era versus two members of Sanity versus obviously the Authors of Pain. I really think that'd be a great match, and a good way to end almost this triple threat feud, so to speak. I think that would be excellent. Obviously, we saw the at the War Games, we saw with Roderick Strong and Adam Cole involved as well. I hope we'll have a triple threat tag team match just to end all the rivalries sort of thing at the next takeover. And that's obviously when you can blend Bed War Machine and into the fold potentially as well after the takeover. So especially hopefully one or maybe two of them move into the main roster. In short, I really enjoyed the match. I think both teams have been excellent. I think, say, 2018, they're on the, especially Authors of Pain, I think they'll certainly be in the main roster. And I think, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish have got fantastic careers ahead of them in NXT and WWE.
You could debut the War Machine after the New Orleans NXT takeover as the champions come into the feed, maybe. Do you think, based on what you've seen in progress and around the world, Nick, do you think they can go straight into an NXT tag team titles picture, or do you think that they'll need to be built up in NXT at all?
I think, obviously, I personally would like to see that go straight into it, but I mean, you don't want to. Obviously, there's me saying that, then there's obviously those people who might not even heard of them. So, I think. Always got to build up a tag team regardless of name sector. So they, unless you've obviously major name, but I think they should win a few matches on the thing before going to the top picture.
Fair enough.
Next up was the Velveteen Dream versus Cassius Ohno. I thought it was a very good match. It was probably my least favourite match on the whole show, I think. No, it wasn't. The women's match was my least favourite. I thought Dream delivered good back-to-back performances on his takeover, and he also had a really good match with Gargano last week. I loved his entrance. I loved the boxing shorts. I loved the fact that he said at the beginning, in the interview beforehand, that he'll knock him out in 30 seconds, and then as soon as the bell rang, the crowd started counting. And he, on the 27th minute, he whacked him, he knocked him down, but and then tried to get the ref to do a 10 count, and the ref's like, that's not how we do it in wrestling. You get the pin in.
Yeah, that was wicked, to be honest.
So, Nene, you can go first on this one. So, what are your thoughts on the match?
Me?
Yep.
Yes, sir. I really enjoyed it. Big fan of both wrestlers. I think they're both fantastic 2017s, and will have an even better 2018s, hopefully. But I love the crowd. The fake havoc, it helped the match a lot. And the crowd seemed really up for this match as well. They really got involved in it, especially with the count at the start, which got everyone sort of involved. But no, really enjoyable match there. It'll be interesting to see where these two both go from here. I think Cassius, I'd love to see him get into NXT title picture further on down the line. I think he deserves it. I think he's a bit, he could say a bit underrated. But I think with Velveteen Dream, he just keeps having match after match after match, which I think he's raising a lot of eyebrows in the NXT universe, so to speak. Really enjoyable match, but I love the way the crowd got into it. And yeah, I think big things are coming for both these men, especially the Velveteen Dream.
Oliver?
What you guys have said, really. Loved the I'm going to knock him out in 30 seconds. Loved the homage on the, much like the tights for Aleister Black at NXT TakeOver War Games this time with the boxing shorts, because they're in Philadelphia, which is obviously the city that Rocky Balboa became famous, Rocky Marciano became famous, sorry. The 30-second countdown was brilliant. The match was really good, and Velveteen Dream is the hottest commodity in the WWE, in all honesty, as a character. He's amazing. As a wrestler, he's really good, and for him being in the infancy of his career in WWE and as a pro wrestler, to be at the level he's at right now is astonishing, and it's only going to get better, isn't it, really? This is a guy that could go all the way, really. The fan support was there, even though he's not supposed to be a hero.
They'll boo in Ohno sometimes this match.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's for Velveteen Dream, I think the sky's the limit, as cliche as that sounds.
Yeah, well, Velveteen won with the Purple Rainmaker in the end. So he's back on track after a couple of defeats. So next up was the women's title match. It was Shayna Baszler versus Ember Moon. I thought Baszler did really well on her first major NXT match. I thought the match was good, had a nice story. The finish played out well, with Baszler not seeming one to let go and then allowing Moon to get the best of her recently, and then she looked absolutely gutted after the match, saying that she knew that was a silly mistake to make. So Oliver, can you face this time?
Yeah, like you said, Shayna Baszler was fantastic in the Mae Young Classic, as we've talked about on previous episodes and stuff. She's just a badass. The Brock Lesnar of female wrestling. For her first, mainstream kind of, pay-per-view wrestling match, I guess you could say. Even though it's not pay-per-view anymore, because obviously it's a network. Really good performance. Loved the way she attacked a body part, the fantastic work on Ember Moon's arm. Ember Moon looked brave and courageous by continually fighting against the uphill battle that she faced, and then Baszler being caught in a wrestling move because of her inexperience in the rest of the ring was a really smart ending. And with the way the kind of aftermath happened as well, this might be another match that Nick sees at NXT TakeOver in New Orleans in some kind of stipulation match, I think.
I really enjoyed the video promos this as well. I love the one of when she's in the performance center.
And she just wouldn't let go.
When she wouldn't let go of the tap, I thought that was class. Really big fan of that. That makes me sound a bit sick and twisted. I really enjoyed that. I think the match they got the booking spot on for this. I mean, this is the way I looked at it as, but I could be completely and utterly wrong. It looked to me as obviously building her as a badass thing, but they're also going to show signs that she's got much, as you said, it was her first major match. She's got much to learn in the wrestling style of things. So I think with Ember Moon winning, it was Ember Moon won a wrestling match, but obviously she won the brawl, she won the fight. But I think they're trying to make things. She's got much to learn in a wrestling ring, in the sense that she knows how to beat people up, but they can't get the job done. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's just the way I looked at it. I could be completely and utterly wrong. That could have just been my my. It's still real to me. Damn it, looking like it. That's just the way I thought it went. And I think that could be quite good booking. We could see her over NXT over the next sort of few months. And as Oliver said, I think a stipulation match of her and Ember Moon could be very good to see, and something I would love to see being there in New Orleans.
What did you think when Baszler kicked Dakota Kai's arm, Nick, if you saw that?
I didn't see it until like yesterday, and I started to do a bit of looking a few videos on YouTube. Savage, and I think that's what, I think you build her up as a badass. I think she could be sort of the next, sort of, not in an understated way, but I think she could be the next best thing. on NXT as a woman.
The next big thing, even.
The next best thing. Copyright.
I like the way you changed that around to stop us from being sued.
I think that's why I think she can be generally very, very impressive over the next sort of year or so on NXT.
Even though I said this was my least favourite match, I still thought it was a very, very good match, just out of these five matches.
No, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was actually one of my favourite matches, actually.
I really
enjoyed it. I really like Ember's matches. I really get involved. I really do enjoy her matches. I say I'm a big fan. She's made a great first impression as well. So I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I have to agree with Nick. I thought this was really good as well. It just goes to show you, though, that when an NXT TakeOver rolls around, it's very difficult to pick the least favourite match of the night, isn't it? I mean, it's the standard of wrestling, and that's obviously we're going to continue the review, is just outrageous, really.
Raniello gets proper into every match as well, which I think really helps as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's just the best commentator, isn't he? Sorry to change the subject, but he's just class.
Do you think it helped last night that he was basically by himself, because Percy Watson didn't seem to do a lot?
It's Nigel McGuinness. I'm a big, I think I was on the show before how much I love Nigel McGuinness. Big Nigel McGuinness fan. I'd love to see him on I'd even love to see him on SmackDown, sort of taking over Graves, letting Graves just do Raw. But that's just me being pretty biased, because I'm a big Nigel McGuinness fan. But
you need to watch 205 Live then.
I'd like to see McGuinness there, but I think he just proved Raniello could probably sell any match, sort of thing. He could have probably sold that Heath Slater versus Kurt Hawkins match back at a Great Balls of Fire, I think it was.
So next up was the Extreme Rules match between Adam Cole and Aleister Black.
Well, one second, Chris. If you're going to do Adam Cole, you have to do it right.
It was Adam Cole, baby. Versus...
Shock the system. you can add in shock the system, I guess, yeah.
What were my thoughts on this match? I thought it took a while to get going. I thought the second half of the match was a lot better than the first. I thought the crowd, being in Philly, I think they needed to make a pretty violent match for it to get over. I think it did help that Adam Cole cut his hand really early on, because it did make it look quite brutal, because everywhere he touched went red. The chair spot was a bit nasty. I don't know if he had to do that. I think it would have been as effective if he had the chairs seats together and they go right through, it probably would have been as effective, but it just looked nasty, that bit. But yeah, happy with the match overall. I enjoyed the run-ins. Sanity just came out of nowhere. I don't think it needed it. But my favourite bit of the match was the beginning, where they went to get weapons, and then Aleister Black was like, I am a weapon, basically. I don't need weapons. But then the look on Cole's face when he's like, I've got a kendo stick and you've got nothing.
It's fantastic psychology, isn't it, really? Amazing by both men, really.
It was my match of the night. I really, really loved it. I'm a big fan of Extreme Rules matches, but I thought they got it right. They got the spots right. I think we have to accept as well an Extreme Rules match in this day and age, regardless of Philly or not, it's not going to be, even if it's on NXT, if it's on WWE, it's not going to be something like it was in ECW. Let's just face it. We have to face facts. As much as I think you could have made it even better if it was proper old school blood everywhere, and everything violent and imaginable, it was just not going to happen as exists to think like this day and age. But I think from what age we are, I thought it was one of the best they could have done. So that chair spot was proper, and maybe scrum with it. But I really, really enjoyed it. And I think, these two are just absolute stars waiting to, I think, future WWE or Universal Champions, I think, in the future. I thought it was just excellent, and I hope that we will be interested to see where. I hope we maybe see them. Well, I'd like to find out for the NXT title. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the end of it. Almost be interesting, like it'll be the build up for the big NXT takeover over the next few months. See what happens where they go as well.
Do you think Black Almas at Mania weekend? And then possibly. Do you reckon it's going to be Black vs Almas at Mania weekend, and then possibly Cole Black at SummerSlam? Maybe.
I think it probably will be Black versus Almas, at the Mania weekend. Black winning, but I'd hope Adam Cole gets a big match as well, because I said earlier I wanted to be a triple threat tag team match. I suppose there's other wrestlers Cole could have a feud with. Obviously, got Kei Susono, Roderick Strong. No way, Jose. So there is people you can have a feud with. I hope he just gets a big match out of Cole at the Mania weekend as well.
Well, Lee, do you want to quickly give your thoughts on this match before we move on to the greatest match of 2018?
This match had blood, it had brutality, it had violence, great in-ring psychology, as we've stated at the beginning of this part of the review. And much like you've said, in terms of the takeover in New Orleans, I think it'd be Black Almas. Black wins that one and then loses it to Cole, if there's going to be like a Chicago one or something like that.
I think there's going to be one just before Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and then I think Gargano wins it at Brooklyn to kind of bring his story full circle, but it's just a little bit of fantasy booking.
Sorry to our listeners who haven't watched NXT TakeOver. They're using this as their way to catch up with the NXT TakeOver, and they've obviously now wrecked the main event for them.
In all honesty, though, Nick, with regards to that, if you're anywhere near the internet and you haven't watched big wrestling shows, you've got to do an internet blackout, otherwise it's flawed for you. So I appreciate your consideration, and hopefully it hasn't.
I've already had 5 messages coming. Because obviously we filmed this live.
Alright, so the show finished with 2008's Match of the Year already. It's gonna be Match of the Year. The NXT title match between Johnny Gargano and Andre Cien Almas. I thought this was absolutely spectacular. Obviously the best I've seen so far this year, but I can't see anything beating it. I thought it was a great villain and an absolutely lovable and awesome babyface to the live crowd. They were just willing him to win. It was absolute hell when he didn't in the end. But he was going to. Nick, what was your thoughts of this match?
Well, I think Johnny Gargano could potentially go on to be someone like Daniel Bryan, another old underdog sort of thing, further on down the line. I thought it was excellent. Yeah, I loved the way Candice LeRae came out. Well, that was quality. I even
say the word marked out when that happened. I thought the match was excellent. Big Gargano fan. I think he's proven that he can certainly do main event matches. I wouldn't say match of the night though, or match of the year in your case. I'm still sold Adam Cole versus his Aleister Black, but I suppose that's why NXT's so great, it's why wrestling's so great. It was an excellent match, and I think both these matches will take a lot of beating, and we'll already be up there at the end of the year. We'll be doing our reviews in 2018, if we do them in 2019, reviewing all the matches, in short, excellent match, and I think, yeah, you had it all right. I think Olmos has proven he's a fantastic heel. Gargano, I think, from going to be a massive, massive babyface in WWE. Them two just click as well in the ring, don't they? Then that excellent match, was it at the SummerSlam takeover?
Ooh, was that Chicago, wasn't it?
Yeah, Everett's takeover, Brooklyn.
That was
a fantastic match as well. So these two click in the ring.
And he had a really good match on NXT TV as well, Nick.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously then when you think the drama's all done, it's the return of Tommaso. I hope he does trim his beard down a bit, Tommaso, but he's trying to look a bit like, only because there's too many bald beard men, with War Machine there. Eric Rowan as well. The crutch to the back was class. I think them two, obviously, if Tommaso is going to be fit for WrestleMania weekend, I think that would already be an early prediction for match of the night between Gargano and Tommaso, and especially their match in the Cruiserweight Classic was insane as well.
And that was my prediction for feud of the year. We're going to have Gargano vs. Ciampa. Oh, what would have finished that off nicely is if he took his knee brace off and then held it up. Even if it wasn't completely better, it just would have.
I loved it if he took his knee brace off, because Tommaso loves a takes his knee pad off with a knee to the head. I remember he loved it. He did that to Zack Sabre Jr. a lot in their feud in Progress. I would have quite liked it if he'd done that, but obviously I don't know whether he's clear to do that or not.
So, Oliver, what are your thoughts on this match?
Just quickly, Nick's give me another fantasy booking idea. If Ciampa goes with War Machine, Nick, and Johnny Gargano's talked up TM61 on Twitter. What about for a six-man tag?
That would be pretty fun, wouldn't it?
that's kind of what I had in my mind. I'm just going to say what I said on Twitter about this match, really. I think it sums it up really nicely. Wow. Match of the night, no doubt. A match of the year candidate for sure. For me, the best WWE NXT main event in TakeOver history. With that, it could actually be the best match in NXT history. What are you waiting for? Go and watch this match now. Well, after they listen to this podcast, obviously. So, with that being said, though, there's a couple of things I would have possibly changed. So, I would have had them use what's happened in previous matches with Zelina Vega, maybe wearing a t-shirt and costing Gargano a near fall, and then throwing the t-shirt to cost another one. You could have had the Candice LeRae interference to stop that from happening, and then Ciampa gets involved to cost Gargano the match. I think that would have been a better ending than him losing in clean fashion, but as you know, Ciampa come out at the end and hit him with the crutch. I think if Ciampa's music had played or he had distracted him in some way and then Gargano loses, it adds even more steam to the what's got to be NXT TakeOver New Orleans match. So I would have just changed the booking a little bit, but absolutely incredible match, and like I said, it's the best TakeOver main event I've ever seen, and with that, probably the best NXT match in history. And even online, on cagematch.net, I think it is, it's tied with Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker as the best match in WWE history.
No.
Obviously, sorry, one second, Nick. And we're waiting for Dave Meltzer's star rating, aren't we? I'm not sure if that's been released yet.
Yeah, WWE NXT have had a 5-star match for years, have they?
Yeah, they think this could be the first 5-star match since, is it Punk versus Cena and Bret Hart against Bret Hart against Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13?
Bret Hart said this was only a 2.5-star match.
You always have to be controversial, don't you, Nick?
I'm just staying in the back.
It's just opinion, but it's everyone's opinion. That's what makes this show fun, and that's what makes debating wrestling fun in general.
Yo, everybody in the UK, it's your boy Shook D. I'm coming at you live in living color, surround sound, letting you know that there hasn't been this much mayhem since the Boston Tea Party, and I'm just letting you know that you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Actually, we move on to the Royal Rumble. So, the Royal Rumble kicked off.
It's all about the numbers.
Do they just have the same advert every year? It's just the change the numbers in it.
I think he's getting somebody off WWE in the network, to be honest, Chris.
I don't get how someone's thrown Big Show over the top rope, to be honest.
Consider it every year. They tell us it's impossible to do, but it happens every year.
Except this year. You get a massive advantage.
They played up this year that between 27 and 30 have won it most times now, haven't they? So it's them numbers that you need to get.
Yeah, 27's the prime number.
I can't remember the last time somebody won for 27. It's been a couple of years.
I can't.
But we'll start from the beginning. So it kicked off with the WWE title match, AJ Styles, in a handicap match against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I thought this was a good match. Thought KO and Zayn's team were great to watch, but I think it was hurt by the inevitability of the results. They're never going to win, basically. So, Nick?
Yeah, they're never going to win. However, I did like the... obviously it was a referee mistake because Owens wasn't the legal man. So we obviously saw them going back to the stage with Shane, shouting at Shane. And then obviously Shane obviously not having much remorse. Now,
I love that bit where he rather than doing a Shane taking sentence after sentence after sentence, he just said, "Yup."
Yeah, well, God, that made me laugh. It did make me laugh. I thought that was brilliant. He sort of keeps Shane on buddies with him. I think we'll be interested to see what's announced on SmackDown this week. I reckon a guess will be I would say Triple Threat, but I don't know if they'll get punished for obviously. I don't know if we're allowed to mention this now, but obviously later on in the night we saw them attack Tyler Dillinger.
Spoilers, Nick.
We saw them attack Tyler Dillinger later on in the night, and obviously Zayn went out and said, "I've got this." Then I don't know if you saw it on Twitter. Ivan Vince tweeted Zayn saying, "I thought you had this." So that's the start of them having difficulty, so to speak. But my guess would be a Triple Threat match at Fastlane.
The Fastlane main events was leaked. I don't know if it's actually true. I think it was Zayn, Owens, AJ Styles, Orton, somebody else in the 5-pack challenge. I don't know if that's real. That was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I was thinking about Orton actually could potentially get involved in that. There's that.
Do we see this whole the end of this payoff at whether Zayn or Owens versus Shane at WrestleMania?
I think
that's right. Shane Ass has the biggest match of Mania, doesn't he? Or AJ Styles being Taker.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I reckon potentially he might get it might be Owens and Zayn versus Shane, partner of Shane's choice, which will pretty most likely be Randy Orton.
Ty Dillinger.
Oh yeah, so if you want to build up a new star, you can do fine.
Vince.
Will Vince out for the match? Yeah.
We had put him in the one of the most vicious attacks on SmackDown Live was Owens on Vince McMahon, so that would make sense.
That's because Vince said really headbutt me beforehand.
all joking aside, it was a pretty good opening match, enjoyable and predictable ending, but obviously that's not the worst thing because it's probably the correct ending. I did like the way it was with a referee error, so to speak, keeps that sort of storyline ticking over nicely. And makes you want to watch SmackDown this week to see what happens with Shane and with Orton Zanger. I also hope that maybe this could be the obviously going into a spoiler later on the night again. Hopefully this could be a big thing for Ty Dillinger as well.
Elva, what are your thoughts on this match?
Well, just to add to what Nick said, it's about time for Ty Dillinger if it is. One of the most underutilized wrestlers on the roster to go along with Curt Hawkins in terms of ability. In terms of this match, it was a really good start to the show. I loved the way that Zayn and Owens played mind games with AJ. AJ fighting back, and obviously the ending of the match is controversial. So that kind of leaves it up in the air to what happens. Obviously, we've discussed what happens a little bit later on. If that hadn't have happened, they do have a just cause and a way back in. Now, because of what's happened, they're going to get punished for doing so. So I'm not sure what will happen with Fastlane. Because obviously, when I was booking the WWE title on the prediction show, at the beginning of this year, I had it as a triple threat match.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where they go from there. But yeah, I'm glad it started the show because it starts it off, fast and it pumps up the fans. And it was good. I like the as I said on Twitter, the throwback to the Impact Wrestling Unbreakable TNA X Division title match between AJ, Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe with the manoeuvre from the monkey flip into a Hurricane Rana, which was very reminiscent of that match way back when. So that was a pretty cool moment.
Should we move on to the tag team title match? It was the Usos defeating Gable and Benjamin 2-0. I thought it was a good match. It was nice to see a 2 out of 3 falls match finish 2-0. I think it made the Usos look really strong going into the next feud. I'd like to see them against Dolph Ziggler at Mania, possibly. I think that could be interesting. They haven't really been against a big man team.
I think, what was said on Twitter after this match was against the Bludgeon Brothers. That would be interesting. And maybe Breezango against Gable and Benjamin for the number one contendership to fight at WrestleMania. So the Bludgeon Brothers at Fastlane. I'm kind of on the fence about this one, Chris, to be honest, with regards to the 2-0 loss. Yes, it makes it unpredictable, the 2 out of 3 falls, but it kind of takes away the suspense. I think I enjoy it more when it's 1-1 and there's a deciding fall, to be fair. I like the way the first fall was long and, really well worked, and the quickness of the second fall was like, blink of an eye kind of thing. But I think this would have been an even better match had it gone to a third fall.
Nick, do you want to just give your quick thoughts of the match so we can get to the Rumble?
In short, I really enjoyed this actually. I felt it to be a more tag team match. I like the near falls during the first leg. It made it a bit different. Standards 2 out of 3 falls, but I really enjoyed it. I'm really glad the Usos have retained, because I think they've had a great, they've really, really improved over the last 12 months, as mentioned before on the show. And interesting to see where both teams go in the build up to the Mania.
So, next was the men's Royal Rumble. So, I thought rather than review the match as a whole, we can just do our highlights and then discuss the surprise entrances, and then we'll just do the finishing sequence. So, Oliver, what were your highlights of the match?
I think my highlight was the reboot of Finn Balor's career in WWE.
I love Burgundy Balor.
Yeah, Burgundy Balor. He had a fantastic performance in the Royal Rumble. I admired his courage and his bravery in the match, in the Universal title match with Seth Rollins in the 2016 SummerSlam pay-per-view. But in terms of a career performance in WWE, this was it, really. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, that was
my highlight.
Yeah, he was also the Iron Man and the heels joint with Roman Reigns eliminating the most people. Was it? Yeah. They both eliminated 4 people. There wasn't like a guy eliminated loads like there usually is this year. So, Nick, have you got a highlight?
Yeah, I was a big fan of the Heath Slater as a whole. I thought it was hilarious. I would have kept it going a little bit longer, actually. I think they could have made that keep going
well into like the 20s.
I thought it was hilarious, everyone coming down whacking him and so on. But his elimination on Sheamus was insane.
On his 40th birthday.
Yeah, I was going to say it happened to him, but it was funny. I wrestled, he was a big name as well. It wasn't like it was someone like, no disrespect, but someone like, someone lower down the card sort of thing. I thought it was brilliant. Big name wrestler like Sheamus, and yeah, just to eliminate that quickly was hilarious. Because I think when Sheamus threw him in the ring, we're like, oh, sit for that. But hang on, very good. I thought that was brilliant. I would have probably done say that to the 20s, as you said, just because it was hilarious watching him just come down knocking him out, sort of thing, and so on. But no, that was my personal highlight, a bit of comedy and a bit of,
I can't remember what podcast I heard it on. They would have had it do it the whole match, and then he comes in right at the end and gets knocked out and beats Santino's record, even though he's been out for like the whole match. Getting battered, he comes in the ring, gets knocked out in like half a second. Nakamura just kicks him straight out.
No, I mean,
he's
a great man.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he's
great.
Another one who is so highly underrated and just really, really fun, entertaining character, and a pretty good wrestler. I remember watching matches in FCW between him and Justin Gabriel, and they could go, in all honesty. They were really, really good in FCW. It's a shame that Gabriel didn't reach his potential in WWE, and Heath Slater hasn't had. Obviously, he's had a really good tag title run. But as in, you know, singles run, I think he's deserving of it.
So my highlight was the Kofi Rumble Magic as yearly one. Was it Mahal threw him over the top rope and then he landed on Woods, and then Big E brought a big pile of pancakes out from somewhere. And so he put his foot on the pancakes. Then to get him back in the ring, they don't know what the word is, just threw him right over Mahal. So Mahal eliminated Woods and Big E, and then nearly Kingston. Do you think they're building up a New Day versus Mahal feud going into WrestleMania?
What, do you think a six-man tag with Mahal and the Bully Boy, the Singh brothers?
They can't do it with the two Singh brothers because
one
of them's injured.
They could bring in Kali, I guess.
Well, yeah, he's supposed to bring in Kali, I love that animation when they started throwing the pancakes in when he comes. Then I think they're realistically, you're going to have to turn them face because they'll just get major reactions.
That was one of my highlights. Aiden English coming out and announcing Rusev and the roar of Rusev Day coming in.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, though, I was watching the pre-show and the crowd was pumped up for him the whole time on the pre-show. Just Rusev Day's constant. When Lana came out later on in the night, it was just all Rusev Day chants. I think he's well over the night. He's probably one of the most over wrestlers in the whole of WWE at the moment.
I love how much Corey Graves is into it as well. He's like, oh, it's Sheamus' birthday. Oh, it just happens to be on Rusev Day.
I was waiting for one of the daft comments like that in Philadelphia. They cheer the people that don't usually, one of those annoying comments. When they say, oh, they cheer the people that don't usually cheer.
Yeah.
So, they cheer the people they usually boo, and they boo the people they hate when they do that.
Yeah, we're almost 52 minutes in, but I forgot to say this in the show. That's happy Rusev Day.
Right, so there's
Rusev Day. That's actually a pretty good Aiden English, Nick.
Well, then.
I've never seen you two in the same place at the same time.
Right, so we had no 205 Live guys or no British guys in the Rumble.
I think that was a mistake, more so for the WWE UK scene, really. Pete Dunne
cancelled a date to be there, wasn't he? So everyone thought he was going to be in it.
Say that again, sorry, Chris.
He cancelled a job, and then Trent Seven had to take over from him. So
everyone thought he was going to be there. I think Pete Dunne, or probably just Pete Dunne, or obviously Tyler Bate could have been as well. They should have been in the Rumble because that was an opportunity to show the on a global stage the WWE UK title in its scene. Hmm. So that was one of the mistakes of the Rumble, really.
I would have got rid of Seth, Sheamus and Cesaro because they already had a match later in the night and put the whole of British Strong Style in, or possibly that six-man tag in the pre-show could have been a qualifying match with a win team or three spots.
Yeah, you could have done something like that, Chris, definitely. You needed one of both, I think. One of 205 Live and one of the WWE UK scene.
Yeah. Cedric Alexander's gone from having a title match to not being on the card at all.
I don't think that's anything against him. I think it's more just the situation. It's a bit of a touchy one, isn't it, really, too? I think it will be cleared up on 205 this week when they've got the gender match. I think it's just a bit of poor timing, really. I don't think it's anything he's done wrong. I think, yeah, you probably could have chucked him in the Rumble, just a bit of a sweetener, really.
There's loads of people, like Tyson O'Neill came in 29. Late 20s.
Well, in all honesty, guys, Jack Gallagher was in the Rumble last year, wasn't he? So
he's a highlight. He was only in for a couple of minutes.
Sorry.
So he was a highlight, even though he was just in for a couple of minutes. I still remember him.
But what I mean by that is they obviously made time and gave an entrant from 205 Live an opportunity to be in the Rumble, and it was the highlight. So it's surprising that they didn't put a 205 Live competitor in the Rumble this year, and obviously the UK scene needed to be in the Rumble as well.
Yeah, so we had four or five surprise entrances, depending on whether you count Dolph Ziggler as a surprise entrance. So in at number seven was Cien Almas. He lasted 29 minutes and then eliminated one person.
I'm surprised. The NXT champion. That's the first time I've done the NXT champion, am I right, sir?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so, Nick.
It was a big name, so I was surprised, but apparently they gave him a good half hour, there or thereabouts. Obviously got an elimination under his belt, so no, I thought he had a good strong looking, and so I think he could be a potential debut on the main roster after the night after WrestleMania.
Then we had a good...
Lose the title to Black at New Orleans, and then debuts, a fantastic weekend for Andrade Cien Almas, third time.
Drop one of the names. Just Andrade Cien Almas. Andrade Almas.
He's been sensational since he's been with Zelina Vega, hasn't he, really?
Yeah.
Such an upturn in her career. Fantastic.
Then we had a bit of a nostalgia pop. The Hurricane came in at number 21. Only lasted 45 seconds, but he did try and do the horror slam. I can't remember what he used to call it.
The horror choke slam.
Cena. He lasted 45 seconds, but it was good to see him.
I might, if I was the 205 Live, maybe him for general manager
That was going to be my next question. Could he put a possible name for the 205 Live job? Said he got him in.
That's great minds thinking alike, that is, Chris.
Because they have Gregory Helms as the manager, but then the Hurricane just appears occasionally as a face.
That'd be wicked.
That's not a bad challenge. Yeah, because Gregory Helms held the belt for quite a while when he was on SmackDown, didn't he?
I think it was over a year. It was the longest reigning Cruiserweight champion.
And he was the WWE Cruiserweight champion as well, so he's held both titles for a long time.
And then the second NXT person was Adam Cole, still showing his injuries from the day before. Looked very padded up. And he lasted just under 7 minutes, didn't eliminate anyone, but it was nice to see him. My main complaint is that he looked tiny compared to everybody else. If he's going to come to the main roster, I think he'll need to bulk up slightly.
I thought it was a bit of a... I wouldn't have done it, personally. Mostly it was bad seeing him in there. I think after a big, brawling match against... I was about the month before, but I don't think he's too much of a big name to just chuck in for one random match or thing.
I'd Roderick Strong on my list of people.
I would think Modric's done really better, but Pete Dunne would have been the ideal one instead. I just think I think it was the wrong person to do. I mean, especially at the time of the match as well.
What about if it was Johnny Gargano?
Yeah, but he's dead now because he got hit over the head.
I would have done Gargano, Cole or Black, I think.
Yeah.
I think I should have done maybe someone else, but that's just my opinion there. That's why I wasn't a huge fan of him coming out. Because obviously I rate him massively. He's one of my favourite wrestlers in NXT, but it's just I think it wasn't the right time for him.
And at number 27, how amazing does Rey Mysterio look? He looked like he did in WCW.
It was brilliant seeing Rey Mysterio back, especially in the same building where they booed him out of, because they wanted Daniel Bryan to enter as number 30, didn't they?
I can't remember the last time I saw him wrestle without a shirt on, because he looked amazing. It just shows you what not being on a WWE schedule can do for you. So.
It's just a shame that it's been widely reported, I'm not on it tonight, that it's a one-shot deal.
Well, he's got all them shows of five-star wrestling coming up, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's that as well, isn't there? So, yeah. But great seeing Rey Mysterio, a pioneer, a legend of cruiserweight wrestling. And once again, if he could turn up on 205 Live, it would be must-watch, either in a GM role or, as a part-time wrestler on the show.
Who's that jumping out of the sky?
So should we include Ziggler as a surprise? Because I wasn't expecting him to be in it.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'd say I was surprised. It certainly didn't get the reaction I think they hoped it would.
I think they should have started the music somebody that everybody really wanted to do and then do the record scratch and then go into his music. So he would have got a huge boo.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yes, that's a good show. It's Chris.
Could have even done like a major star like Stone Cold. I think that would be quality.
Or CM Punk.
CM Punk.
That would be insane. Yeah, I think that would have got so much booze, even for the right reason. I think you'd have got the respect for WWE for doing something like that in a weird way. But they would have taken out Dolph, and it would have been not in an annoying trolling way like they've done with Reigns and Batista winning, but in a general funny way. I think it's a great shout.
Well, they did it with Bret Hart's music when Shawn Michaels was in Montreal way back then. So, they can do it if they choose to.
Oh, just imagine if it started going, dun, 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 dun. I think I'm cute. And going to, I'm here to save the world.
Well, he's been, been referred to as a Shawn Michaels light, Shawn Michaels ripoff kind of thing, hasn't he?
It donged. And the lights went out.
Service to Dolph Ziggler, but if he had come out to Shawn Michaels' music, like you guys have said, it would have been fantastic, wouldn't it?
Right, then, what do you think of the final six showdown between the old guard and the new guard? So they had Randy, Ray, and Cena on one side, then they had Finn, Nakamura, and Roman facing off.
That was brilliant. That was just a tremendous moment in the Rumble, in all honesty. Fantastic for the crowd reaction as well as, a kind of passing of the torch of sorts to the new guard.
Then the final four literally lasted forever. I think it lasted just under 15 minutes. And there was six minutes between Rey Mysterio going out and then Finn going out, I think. So Finn the next one. But my favourite part of the final four was when Roman and Cena went to fight and the crowd started shouting, "You both suck, you both suck."
Yeah, no, that was hilarious.
But then in the final four, they split again. So it's like Finn and Nakamura, these are Triple H's guys, and then Cena and Roman, these are Vince's guys. So it's like, kind of kept splitting. I thought, it had them on the edge of my seat, so it's probably the best final four sequence I can remember in the Royal Rumble.
I think for star power, it's got to be up there as one of the best final four participant-wise in a very long time, if it's ever been beaten, really. Just fantastic.
I was convinced Roman was going to win. That's why they put it in the middle of the show, so he wouldn't finish the show on a boo. I was hoping he'd win, because the Wrestle Island did a rumble sweep, and I got number 28. So I found myself cheering for Roman, even though I wanted Nakamura to win.
I must admit, I got 28 as well, but I just couldn't. I was cheering for Nakamura. For the sake of money, I wanted Nakamura to win. Still, to hell with the money, I said.
I was cheering for number 14 because that's my lucky number. And lo and behold, that's who won the Rumble.
But it, I mean, the Rumble as a whole, I think it's the best one they've done in years, personally. You've got the passionate cheer, which we haven't had, I don't think, since Edge won it.
I was going to say, this is probably the first time in years that who the fans wanted to win one.
Yeah. As I say, I think it's probably the biggest passionate cheer since Edge won it. And what's that, 2010? So that's 8 years. We've had we've had some absolute crap ones over the year, I think. Let's face it, there's no... Just no
since then, who won? Was it Del Rio won, Sheamus won.
Cena.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a trivia
Batista.
Question.
Cena, Batista, Reigns.
Reigns, Triple H.
Orton. And Nakamura, isn't it?
The Triple H one wasn't too bad, but I think this has been the best one, I think, in recent years, or a long, long time. Passionate ending, some good moments in it, and just a generally good Rumble. I would have obviously still had it main evented personally, but you don't need to go there. But I think I'm like full credit and delighted that Nakamura won it, and we're getting fucking AJ Styles versus Nakamura.
Do you think it's gone a main event? Do you think it'll be the last match on?
I'd like it to, but I don't think it will.
So there's rumours it's going to be Brock's last match, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I've seen. But who cares? We get a Nakamura AJ Styles.
Right. Do you want to fly through these next two? Because I haven't got much to say about Sheamus and the Bar and Rollins and Jordan.
I generally have nothing to say about that.
I thought it was a decent match. I thought it got a bit killed off. The crowd was a bit tired after the Rumble. And I am liking Jason Jordan. I like to see where this goes. Cause I liked him tagging himself in and then immediately tagging himself out. He obviously concussed.
I think the referee shouldn't allow Jason Jordan to compete. He obviously clearly had a concussion, so... yeah. I think the referee should have got involved. But all joking aside, I thought this was probably the worst match. And I'm not saying it was a terrible match, but just, I think, as you said, it was difficult following the Rumble, which was excellent. It wasn't like it was following a rubbish Rumble. It was following an excellent Rumble match, and so one of the best ones we've seen in years. So it was always going to be difficult, but no, I'm happy Sheamus and Cesaro won. I think it will be quite interesting to see what happened with Jordan if it's in some sort of heel turn.
I say, but will he blame Rollins for losing the titles, even though he did nothing the whole match?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go. I don't know what Seth's going to have. What Seth's going to have at WrestleMania. I suspect Seth will probably be in the Elimination Chamber. I haven't seen all yet, and I don't really want to hear any results, so I could be wrong. But
I haven't seen the results yet, but I know they're starting qualifying matches on Raw this week.
So. I know the qualifying matches. I've forgotten, actually. I only know one of them. I've forgotten what the other ones were. But no, I hope Seth is going to be part of the. I hope Seth is part of the chamber match. But no, I'd be interested to see what gig he gets at WrestleMania.
You got any thoughts on this, Oliver?
Yeah, just enjoying the storyline. Really, I'm kind of into this Jason Jordan story now. I thought it was really well performed. The whole story of the match being about him being slammed into the ring post, and the fact that he wanted to go into the ring and like you said, tagged himself in and then tagged himself out. Just really, really smart booking it. This isn't going to go down as a classic, but it was to, move a storyline along, so job done, really.
Right, then there was the Universal title match. Lesnar defeated Strowman and Kane. Another match hurt by I can't remember the word now, was it? Well, we knew who was going to win, was the eventuality. we knew the outcome of the match. It seemed like they were just trying to reenact the SummerSlam match.
Yeah, that's what I said on Twitter, and in all honesty, I mean, the moment of this match was that punch by Lesnar to Braun Strowman. Good grief. That was unbelievable. Don't you think, Nick?
It was scatty. it was just Brock. Apparently Brock just loves the red thing. Brock loves getting hit and kicked in the head because he can punch someone back harder. it was a bloody hell moment sort of thing. But fair play to Braun for taking it. And I enjoyed the match. I'm a big fan of big men just kicking the crap out of each other, basically. Like, a bit like the Fatal 4-Way at SummerSlam, which I really, really enjoyed. So it was a great match, better than I thought it would be. And I think, yeah, it leads up to, obviously, Lesnar facing the winner of the Elimination Chamber, you'd like to think. I suspect Kane will probably go into the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale, and Strowman will... I think he's got a few options, but it'll be interesting. I mean, Strowman certainly had a big match at WrestleMania, but I think, rumors are true. It's going to be Lesnar's last match. I'll be very disappointed because I still think he adds so much to WWE.
Right, shall we move on to the historic Women's Royal Rumble?
Yeah. I got the power.
Oh, I have a great Little Mix impression. Right, so same as the man's, we're gonna review the whole match. We're just gonna give our highlights, and we'll talk about the surprise entrance and then the finishing sequence. So, Nick, do you want to go first on what your highlight was?
Yep. I think my highlight was. Can I say what happened after? Or
yeah, we'll come on to that later. During the match.
My highlight during the match. I quite liked. It was a really good rumble, but. It wasn't a standout moment like there was in the men's one for me personally. I'll give you a standout. I'll tell you one wrestler I thought looked class. Michelle McCool, that'll be my highlight. I thought she looked in great shape. Really, was proper. I thought she looked excellent. She looked like someone who could still go. She looked in fantastic shape, still beautiful as ever. But no, I thought she just would generally look very, very good in the ring. Like she had missed the beat. It's easy to say, which we heard a lot from all of the wrestlers. But no, she generally was really looking in good shape. And really,
she eliminated five people, and she holds the current record.
Absolutely, she had quality. That was my highlight personally. Not a very good one, not a comedy one like the men's. But no, in general, serious. I think hopefully, if I was WWE, I'd be getting her. Like saying, where the hell does that come from? Get on a contract now. See you next.
Oliver.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a moment that doesn't...
Do you want me to go first? Or?
...that we're going to talk about in a minute. Naomi doing a Kofi Kingston was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was on my list. Naomi Robin Kingston's thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Chris. And I guess because of how it might affect the story and stuff, but it might just be because it was every woman for themselves. Sasha eliminating Bayley.
Yeah, Sasha's heel turn.
If that's the beginning of her turning into a villain.
She was getting more and more heelish as the match went on, I thought.
Yeah, that could be brilliant.
I also loved her Wonder Woman outfit. I thought it was great. And my low light was Tamina's cowboy outfit. I don't know what she was wearing. That all-white denim thing. My highlight was the face-off between Trish and Mickey, where Trish referenced the WrestleMania 22 by doing the pussy licking symbol, which the cameras quickly panned away from. Before quickly turning.
I was going to have that as my mum, but like once again, because we were going to talk about surprises and stuff in a minute, I had to quickly think on my feet about other moments in that rumble. Mm.
So Mandy Rose will forever be a quiz question now because she was the first woman eliminated in the Women's Royal Rumble. Before we get on to surprises, what did you think of the Legends NXT ratio? I thought it was a bit wrong in this Rumble. I would have preferred more of an even split.
I think as it was the first ever Women's Rumble, they probably were always going to stop it up on Legends, which I don't blame. I think if it's a regular, if it turns into anything, which I bloody hope it does, because it was excellent, I think there'll probably be more and more NXT over the next sort of few years and surprise entrances in the sense that it'll be more newcomers. But I think as it's the first one, they really had to top it up on Legends, I think, to make it, almost give it, and especially if it main events in as well. Because don't forget, with the Royal Rumble, it's one of these big four where there's a lot of casual fans watching. So I don't disagree with that much, to be honest, with it being the first one, being it main events in the big four pay-per-view, as well as like it's just main events in a casual pay-per-view. They meant a big four, and Royal Rumble's massive, given the fact that loads of people are going to tune in and watch it. So I don't disagree with the Legends, if I'm honest.
Some of them, we all know Tori Wilson can't wrestle, Kelly can't wrestle, Vicky Guerrero can't wrestle. So he could have brought in the Anaconic Duo and Nikki Cross instead of them three.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong, you're pretty right, but I don't know, obviously better wrestlers, but it's just the case of star power. I mean, say if you're, I don't know, like some, for instance, my mates who watched it, some of them, obviously they just want to watch it because it's the Royal Rumble, they have to work off a Monday, so they thought, I might as well watch it. They obviously heard of Tori Wilson, they heard of Kelly, everything, but they didn't have a clue who Ember Moon was when she came, that sort of thing. That's not disrespecting wrestling, it's just a case of, if I'm watching rugby, I wouldn't have a clue who any rugby players are, sort of thing. I might know one England player. It's just a case of what it is. It's nothing personal against. I think it's just WWE, I think, being a bit sensible about who their target audience is for the Royal Rumble.
I also thought the Legends got too many eliminations, because Lita got two, Tori Wilson got one, Molly Holly got one, Michelle McCool got five, and Brie Bella got four, Nikki Bella got four, Brie Bella got two, Stratus got three.
I think in terms of the Rumble, I can't believe the Iconic Duo won. And if we're talking about people from the past, obviously not from a wrestling standpoint, but it would have been nice to see Stacey Keibler.
Again, she can't wrestle.
Yeah, I know, but if you're talking about, and in all fairness to Tori Wilson and to Kelly Kelly and indeed Stacey Keibler, they were trying to learn how to wrestle in the latter times before they left WWE.
Kelly looks so out of place against these women who can actually wrestle these days.
Oh, but that's because the standard's so high, you know what I mean? So
I agree with that. I think the standard's just improved drastically. I mean, yeah, this patient's not great compared to the new ones, but she's still looking good shape in it. Things like she was out of shape or anything like that. So I thought she didn't they try it, but and then to be fair, back in her era she probably was one of the best women on the roster, so I think you have to.
I think she was one of the most popular, but she was never one of the best wrestlers.
I think that's where his popularity. I think, don't forget, wrestling, the woman wrestling's changed.
Yeah.
Let's face it. So I think you're not going to have, like, say, Brian Panties matches anymore or anything like that. But then back in the day, obviously, let's face it, we're all men. We probably did enjoy it back in the day. We were led to believe we should enjoy, especially a young fan like myself when it was on. Me and my mates were loving it, sort of thing. So I think it's just true, isn't it? It's what we were led to believe is what women's matches are there for, to. But now I think, as I said, it's changed so much. It obviously changed for the better, don't get me wrong. And but I think you also have to acknowledge every era as well, given it's an absolutely historical match.
So there was rumours that like Alondra Blaze would have been in it, but she had an injury. So.
Who was that?
Alondra Blaze.
Okay. And yeah, Alicia Fox was supposed to be on, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's injured as well. It's just like what you said, Nick, about watching the Rumble with your friends. It obviously it's the big four pay-per-view and it brings in the casual fans as well. Your casual fans, your friends, knew who Tori Wilson was but didn't know who Ember Moon was. So it's about catering to everyone, isn't it, really?
Well,
the reason why those ladies were used.
I understand why they did it, because it was the first one, but in future, I think, purely based on numbers of active wrestlers, they should probably do a 20-woman Rumble. Not having to bring in 13 people who you know aren't going to win just to get nostalgia pops, because it won't work year after year bringing in these same women. So
if they want to, I think you've got to keep it as 30 women, Chris.
You don't have enough wrestlers though.
Well, I think there will, because if you look at the Mae Young Classic, the women there, if obviously this was the benchmark being the first one, but if you look at the Men's Royal Rumble from 1988, it was completely different to 2018, wasn't it? So
I think it was main eventing as well. I think they had to justify main eventing as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Shinsuke Nakamura won the Men's Rumble, and you would think that's the best way to close out the show. But the women and the Women's Royal Rumble was absolutely worthy of the main event. Nostalgia, good action. Surprise wise, it was, you know, fantastic and stuff. So they did really well to be the main event, even though you know, the best possible outcome for the Men's Royal Rumble, Shinsuke Nakamura winning it, could have main evented any Royal Rumble at any time, couldn't it?
I'm also disappointed we didn't see Santina or Harvina. I think they could have done exactly the same thing with Santina as they did with Vicky Guerrero. Just come in, everyone does the finisher in, and then throw them over the ring. shows that it's a new era now and we don't do things like that anymore. They had to so gently pass Vicky Guerrero over the top rope so she nicely landed on her feet. So fake.
Oh, well, that was quite funny. Vicky came out to burst
her. I thought the coming out bit was funny, but the way they had to gently, or for not to gently pick her up and pass her over the top rope.
But that's a non-wrestler, though, isn't it? I mean, I'm watching 2008 WWE, and she is such a staple of SmackDown as the general manager. It's rather incredible, to be honest. She had a highly underrated role as the general manager.
It wasn't underrated, it was awful.
As the woman you didn't, you love to hate kind of thing.
One thing we haven't talked about, Steffa wasn't as quite as annoying on commentary as I thought she was going to be.
I thought, while she wasn't as annoying, I still think I would have done Renee Young.
That's what I was saying. That's what I thought Renee Young was going to be in the match. That's why they didn't use her in that position.
Yeah, I was going to say I liked Stephanie on commentary. I thought she added, different bits of story. It was nice to see China being mentioned as well.
Like the way Michael Cole didn't seem to know whether he was allowed to mention her, and then Steph just mentioned it.
But I think in going forward, and obviously this has been mentioned and stuff, a Renee Young or a Beth Phoenix or a Lita needs to be on the commentary team.
I thought Lita's a lot better at commentary than I've not really enjoyed Beth Phoenix on the Knicks Match Challenge. I thought Lita was a lot better in the May Young class.
But just like a woman has to be on a commentary team, I would say on a Raw or a SmackDown or even NXT, because if you're pushing the women's wrestling revolution, but you can't have a female commentator, it's quite difficult to get things across because it's so male dominated as well. So maybe that'll be something that could happen in the future. They talked about Renee Young, like I said, and I think she's turned around on the net and stuff and just said it wasn't for her, but she did a pretty decent job in the early NXT, in all honesty.
But Renee Young's excellent what she does. I think she's quality hosting the pre-show. Backstage commentary, she's excellent. So so you don't want to wreck someone because she might hate it on commentary and it might sort of thing, but she might not be very good at it and then it might affect her going back to doing what she used to do sort of thing. So I think you have to be careful when you do stuff like that because she's so good at what she does already.
They could bring Dean Ambrose back and have him interview people. If you watch that Raw from way back when he was just messing with people, it's a great way for him to earn a paycheck when he's, out injured, isn't it?
Was anyone confused by Nikki eliminating Bray?
No, sir.
It's happened before, hasn't it, really?
Apparently it's part of a story they're going to do on... apparently it's going to be part of a story they're doing on Total Bellas. That's the only reason it happened. who can I credit with that? That was a Wrestle Talk, I think. Is that a Wrestle Talk or Going in Raw? One of you. I can't remember which one on top of my head. I listened to too many podcasts today. It's Oscar winning. Nobody else is going to win, really. So.
The only person I thought might have a chance is Nia Jax. And once she was eliminated,
I thought my prediction was somebody wasn't in the match in the end. I'm not dropping in who that is. I thought, fair play, it's the right winner. I thought she was called Oscar. And interesting where it goes from here.
Did you pick Alicia Fox, Nick?
I would have had Nia Jax eliminate 10 people. Made her look really strong. I think she eliminated 4. But she spent most of the match out of the ring every time she tried to get back in, so we kicked her.
She was the Heath Slater of the Women's Rumble, Chris.
Alright, so then, after the match, both champions came into the ring. They were going to do the Who You Gonna Pick, and then Ronda Rousey's music hit. And came down. And I know now that it was Roddy Piper's jacket, but at the time I was like, why is she wearing a huge man's jacket?
I think this one completely nothing justifies the woman going on last, but I think with the moments like this, it proves that women wrestling really is on par with the men. They can get this moment, they can get
get this much reaction on social media.
Mm.
I thought it was an absolutely incredible moment. I thought it was like a proper well done moment as well, with all of them in the ring. It made women's wrestling look proper. It's like it's on par with men's. And that's not me just saying it because you have to. It generally is. I think this was such a big moment. It was brilliant. The reaction from everyone. And again, I think it just proves with this sort of moment, just proves how far with the rest of the camp that it's getting this much reaction on social media. But to actually send fans went buzzing as well after a pay-per-view, after a top four pay-per-view, is incredible. So I think full credit to just every single woman that was in the ring. But post-match, it is just bloody great to see Ronda Rousey in WWE. She was excellent in the UFC. She's one of the big, I think, what was that? I read a stat that the three biggest gross fighters of all time in UFC are Conor McGregor, Brock Lesnar, and Rousey.
Mm.
Two of them obviously now in WWE. Hopefully McGregor, I think McGregor might get the odd match one day. But no, it was just absolutely wow moment. And a bit awkward, the points. I think she needs to work on her acting a bit, which she's made clear. She says she needs to improve on her acting in WWE because it's obviously, there is a lot of acting involved. It's not like UFC where it's mainly fighting. There is a WWE, there's obviously a large portion of acting.
Yeah, I think she was meant to come down as looking like a badass, but she's such a fan, she couldn't help but smile all the way down. I think she was meant to be.
If Floyd Mayweather can be in the WWE, Nick, I think Conor McGregor could be as well in the future.
Exactly. I think, but it was just such a great moment, and she really is one of the biggest stars in wrestling, in the wrestling industry at the moment. Obviously, couldn't you have seen that? So no, it was just excellent to see her, and I think also the fact that everyone thought that it was all gone the moment when Trish came. I was obviously not really care because Trish is still class. I don't think anyone expected it then. But it was an oh my god moment for me. I loved it, and I'm just so interested to see where this goes, what's going to happen, who Oscar's going to pick, who Rousey might face, or if she's going to face someone for a champion, or if she's going to maybe pick up where she left off with Steph.
The Wrestling Observer's saying they're going to do they're considering a mixed match between Triple H and Steph and Rousey and the partner of her choosing.
Loads of options, but let's just face it, it's just incredible to see her in a WWE ring, and it was a great moment, a great way to end a fantastic Royal Rumble pay-per-view.
I thought it was a bit confusing, because when I was watching it live, I was like, so is Rousey one of the options for Oscar? That's my impression. Is she a prize? Like, you can either have a championship match or you can face Rousey.
See, the thing is, when I was watching, I don't know what you guys think. Do you think, you know, after the Rumble's finished and Asuka's won the match, that Ronda Rousey can come to the ring and just kind of say, well, I'm going to WrestleMania and I'll fight either of these female champions? Do you think that she deserves it because of what she's done in UFC?
How would have fared if she left it till Monday, like Raw, and then gave Oscar her stage for winning the Rumble? But I can see why they did it last night, just to get the papers talking about it.
I think it would be better on Raw. However, I think it was still an excellent moment. And again, going back to the point I made about obviously we've never gone watching. And again, I'm going to go live and probably justify it. It's probably not that they have to justify it, but you know, I think with the casual fans watching. But no, I loved it.
I think, in all honesty, after the show ended and stuff, she just, when she was like running over to the fans and hugging them and high-fiving them and doing, pictures and stuff, she just came across as a really lovely person. And, obviously she's a badass from a UFC, title matches and stuff. And if that can transcend over to WWE, it's going to make for some awesome matches. And if she was going after the title, do you think she would take on Charlotte or Alexa Bliss? That's
Charlotte.
I think Charlotte would do a better match.
You think it'd be the woman whose dad was one of the horsemen against, obviously, the four horse women's leader in it? That would be that'd be a money match, wouldn't it, if they're going to do a title match? But like you said, Chris, it could be a mixed tag as well.
That's just what the Observer's saying, so they don't nine times out of ten they get it right. So, apart from they didn't get, they said there'll be eight NXT women in the Rumble. They got that wrong. So, I based all my predictions on it. But should we finish there? So it's 11:30. So, right, so over the next week we'll be interviewing three of the fastest rising stars in British wrestling. Today, but tomorrow we're interviewing fourth generation wrestling airborne champion Joe Nelson. He's the youngest professional wrestler in Britain. He's only 16. Then on the 6th of February. On the 6th of February, we're interviewing the leader of the Billy Club, Billy Norton. And then on the 7th of February, we're interviewing King of the Loserweights, JJ Barker. His next match is against Grado. And he's doing a brilliant series on Twitter of his search for Grado. You have to look it up. Just do the hashtag search for Grado. It's so fun. So, so if you enjoy our show, head over to Twitter, BVGWpod. And follow us on there. And thank you for listening. And check out our next review. This is Elimination Chamber. Is that next one?
Yeah. Sunday, the 25th of February.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll do a couple of shows in between then, not just the interviews. So, good night.
Good night.
Good night.